Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time. And today we're going to be talking about this verse from Job chapter 22, where it says, "Decide or decree a thing, and it will be established for you." Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about this word established, about how in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul prays for the people to have God's love rooted and established in their heart. And God often uses this word established to say, hey, I'm establishing my covenant with you. So we have to get this covenant of God. He calls it a covenant of love. He calls it a covenant of peace all throughout the Bible, established in our hearts. And to be established, you think of a tree that is established. It is rooted, it's established, it's fixed, it's set permanently in place. To be established is to be steadfast, it's to be immovable. And we're going to take a look here in Job chapter 22 today about this idea of a heart that is established. And when our hearts are established, then we can decide or decree a thing and it will be established. Whatever we decide or decree will begin to get established in our lives. So we're going to see this progression of getting things established in our hearts first, and then we can decide or decree a thing, and the things that we decide or decree can begin to get established or set in place in our lives. Well, let's get started with prayer. And we're going to pray our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. If you want to learn more about this prayer, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com and you can find the 30-day prayer challenge there. With everything we do in my program, The Abundant Life Blueprint, it started off for me with this goal from Proverbs chapter 13. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. I made it my goal, my mission, my vision to create manuals and programs and a whole system to teach my children and grandchildren, hopefully one day, how to live a good life, how to live a better life, how to live a godly life, and to walk this life out with God. And of everything we do, this 30-day prayer challenge, this is the prayer that I pray every day. I pray it over myself, my family, all those connected to me, all of our partners. And if you'll get this prayer implemented, this is the first thing we try to get implemented with everybody, with everything that we do. Get this prayer implemented. And then use this prayer as a foundation to begin to plan your day with God and to let God start to navigate your days and to walk out those things that you know to do and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in Him and doing it with a good attitude. If you'll begin to implement that, I believe you'll see massive shifts in just how your days go if you get that started. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching this video. I pray for all of their family, their friends, those connected to them. And I pray for all of our church and governmental leaders. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I just keep asking, Lord, that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that we would know you more and more. And the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us, bless our time here together today. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement, along with feeling challenged and encouraged and inspired and enlightened all at the same time. I ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and all your goodness, and to let it flow through us, so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. And keep your hand on us and help us do today, this day, what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And Lord, we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I'm just thinking, God was reminding me this morning, what an amazing thing prayer is. You think about the greatness of God. He is all powerful. He created everything. He knows everything. And you are only one prayer away. Because of what Jesus did, we are only one prayer away from communicating with God, from talking with God, from having the guy who knows all the answers and is all powerful, and nothing is impossible for him. Just one prayer away from that. It's a pretty amazing concept when we really begin to think about it. Like I said, I believe you'll get that 30-day prayer challenge. You get that prayer established in your life. Talking about getting things established. If you'll get that prayer, I believe, established, and you'll go to our website here, and you'll find some additional training videos with some more insights into that prayer and why it's so powerful. And then you'll do the other half of prayer. Well, you'll take the time to listen. You'll plan your day with God and let him begin to navigate your days and stay tuned in throughout the day and execute with a good attitude. I believe you'll see some massive shifts in how your days go. And get that established in your lives. I think it'll be a blessing to you. But like I said, you can learn more at theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com about the 30-day prayer challenge there. But let's talk about this idea. Decree a thing, and it will be established. We've been talking about this idea of getting our hearts established. God has given us some amazing things. He's given us his steadfast love. His steadfast love never changes. He's given us this covenant of love, this covenant of peace. He's given us the righteousness of Jesus, which never changes. He's given us all of these amazing things. His word never changes. We got to get these things established in our hearts. To be established means to be firm. It means to be fixed, to be steadfast, to be set permanently in place, to get these things established in our hearts. And then I'm reading and I'm studying, and I come across Job chapter 22. We're going to be looking at it in the Amplified here. Job chapter 22, and it talks about getting our hearts established, number one. But then after that, after our hearts are established, we can decide and decree a thing, and that will become established in our lives. So we're going to be taking a look at Job chapter 22 here. But let's get started. Job chapter 22. We're going to be looking in the Amplified version. We're going to start in verse 21, and we're going to read through verse 30. And so here's what it says. Now yield and submit yourselves to him, to God. Agree with God. So get into agreement. Yielding and submitting ourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God, and what? You can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And be conformed to his will. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And be at peace. When we're right with God, when we submitted to him and we're right with God and we're in the proper position, there's peace. In this way, by submitting to God and being conformed and transformed into the image of him, we'll be at peace, and in this way we'll prosper, and great good will come to you. Please receive the law and instruction from God, from his mouth, from God's mouth, and establish his words in your heart and keep them. Establish his words in your heart. Now, we've been talking about the last several weeks. How do we get his word established in our hearts? I think the number one most important thing, meditation. Meditation. Meditation helps us bridge that gap. God's given us the seed of his word, the seed of his promises, and we can get those seeds rooted and established. Think of it like a tree where we're growing it. We can do that through meditation. What does it mean to meditate? It means to mutter. It means to ponder. It means to imagine. It means to rehearse or to recite. Some versions of the Hebrew word for meditate, when Isaac goes out to meditate in the field, it's like a picture of him going for a walk out in nature. So imagine. Going for a walk, reciting, rehearsing these promises from God, talking about his love, talking about the righteousness of Jesus, talking about the covenant of love that he's given us, or any specific promises that you feel like God is highlighting in your life and bringing to mind in your life, talking about those, rehearsing them, reciting them over and over, muttering them. And then another version of the word to meditate is to growl. To growl. And I think that's where we're going to get into this idea of decreeing a little bit, because when the issues and troubles and problems of life, we're still going to have them. Jesus said, you're going to have troubles of life, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And so when we have been rehearsing and practicing these things, when the issues and problems come in life, we can growl at them and we can speak the promise at them rather than talking about the problem. And the book of Joshua, God tells Joshua, if you'll meditate in my word day and night, then you'll have good success. Meditation, I believe, is what helps us to get this word established in our hearts. So we're going to get our hearts established, and getting them established in God's love, in the righteousness of Jesus, all of these things. And if you'll return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourself before him, God gives grace to the humble, you will be built up. I forget the scripture reference, but it says God is able to get you rooted, built up, and established in the faith. get you rooted, established, built up. He's able to do all that for you. If we remove unrighteousness far from our tents. Now, unrighteousness, Jesus was made unto us righteousness. Getting our minds fixed on the righteousness of Jesus, and his righteousness endures forever. His righteousness is not tossed about. His righteousness is fixed and established and consistent. And we can seek not to establish our own righteousness, but we can establish the righteousness of Jesus in our hearts, where we are right with God because of what Jesus did, not because of our own works. And then we can let that righteousness flow through us and help us to do what's right and best in God's eyes today. Establishing the righteousness of Jesus in our own hearts. That's a big deal. Then we continue in verse 24. And place your gold in your dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, considering it of little value. So we're not putting our hope and our trust and our security in money. Jesus says we have to choose. You can choose God or money. What's your hope? What's your trust? What's your security in? And it says this in verse 25, and make the Almighty, make God your gold and your precious silver. And then you'll have delight in the Almighty and you'll lift up your face to God. And when you pray to him, he will hear you and you will pay your vows. So think about this. What is your source? Is your hope and your trust and your security in money or a job or some channel of sources giving you financial security? Or is our hope and our trust and our security, is it in God? God wants to be the source of everything in our lives. He wants to be the source of it. And if we'll put our hope and our trust and our security in him, that's the way we're supposed to live. That's the way that we are supposed to live. So then it says this in verse 28, you will also decide and decree a thing, and what? It will be established for you. And the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. So start with this first. You will decide. Nothing happens. One of the things I've learned about faith, as long as you are wavering, nothing happens. Faith gets put into motion when you come to a firm decision. It's interesting. The word for decide in Hebrew is this picture of a ball rolling away. Think of it like a bowling ball. You roll it down the lane. Once you let it go, you can't take it back. You will decide a thing. I once heard a business coach named Dan Sullivan. He's got a teaching on the word decide. He says most of the words that end in C-I-D-E, so decide, D-E-C-I-D-E. We have words like suicide, pesticide, homicide, all have to do with killing something off. So what is this? When we get God's word established in our hearts, it's established, it's firm, it's fixed. We're meditating on God's steadfast love, on the righteousness of Jesus that's been given to us. God always keeps his word. He never fails to perform his word. We get that established in our heart. What's going to happen? It's going to cause us to make some different decisions in our life. We're going to decide to walk by faith. We're going to draw a line in the sand and kill off the other options that are not God. And that what's going to happen? That's going to put faith into motion. I'm thinking of me personally. When I went through, I have my book, The Miracle Year. I talk about I was moving my gym, and I had to be moved out of my gym by a certain date, and I had nowhere to go. And I had nowhere to go. And I knew God was telling me not to get into another lease option at that time. So I'm thinking, all right, we're going to buy a building or something's going to happen. And I knew he was telling me not to get back into another lease. And so I cut off all options for a lease. I wouldn't even go look at them. I decided, and I was fixed. And sure enough, at the very last day, God comes through. And we actually got to move my stuff into a place, and we were able to use that place for free. It's actually a tremendous blessing. And I didn't know it, but coronavirus was coming right after that. So God got me out of my lease that I was in early and told me not to get back into another lease. And then I move in. I have a free place to go. And then coronavirus hits, and I'm free from everything right when coronavirus hits. But it started with a firm decision to do things God's way. Nothing happened as long as I was wavering. And I decided, I made a firm decision. And here's what I did. It says, you will decide and you will decree a thing. I want you to think about this. The word decree, decree something is a governmental term. It's a legal term. A decree is a law that a king puts in place. And so you think about a decree. A law is not put in place. It's spoken. You could speak a thing. You could decree a thing. But a true decree is a written law. It's a written law. So something I found is this. When I was going through my miracle year and several other times, I got to this place where I made a firm decision. All right, I'm going to do things God's way. I'm going to do things God's way. And what did I do? I started this process. I learned this from Jerry Savelle, I believe. He's got a book called The Prayer of Petition. And I began to write out a prayer. Jesus says, if you abide in me, you can ask for anything that you want in my name, and it will be done for you so that your joy will be complete. God will get the glory. What's interesting, in Esther chapter 8, when a law was written that was going to destroy the people, in those days, once a law was written, it could not be undone. Once a law was written, it could not be undone. Once God speaks or decrees a thing, it's written. All throughout the Bible, it says, it is written. It is written. What did Jesus respond? It is written. That was the decree. So we get to this place where we write out decree and we write out God's promise. We write out God's promise. And an official decree from a king had to be written out, had to be sealed in the king's name, had to have his signature probably on it, had to have his seal of approval on it. And so what I've learned to do is this. Once I make a firm decision about which way to go in life, I will often write out a prayer of petition or an agreement with God. And I will write it out, and I will write it in Jesus' name. And I will write about the promises that God has given us, and I will ask for things, or I will decree a thing, and write it out in Jesus' name. And then I will sign it, I will date it, and I will often take communion over it as a symbol of the covenant of God, as a symbol of my covenant and partnership with God. And I will make a firm decision, then I will write this thing out. And I did this when I was going through my miracle year process of moving my gym. I got to the point where I decided, you know what, I'm going to do this God's way. I made a firm decision. I'm not going back. God's told me not to get into a lease. And there was a lot of temptation to get back into a lease. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do this your way, God. And sure enough, he came through right at the perfect time. And it was better. It was a better solution than I could have come up with myself. We often talk about this idea of a beautiful solution to the problems that we face. A beautiful solution is one that it comes at the perfect time, and it's the perfect solution, and it causes ripple effects for good in every way. Whereas a solution that we come up with ourselves, here's what usually happens. We create side effects. We create other problems by the solution that we come up with. Have you ever come up with some solution that you figured out in your mind, and now all of a sudden you got all these other problems that pop up because of the solution that you created? A beautiful solution that comes from God, when we decide and we decree a thing and choose to do things God's way, he establishes it for us, and it gets set and established and fixed and steadfast in our lives. And he's the source of it. Our source was not our own figuring it out, our own wisdom. It wasn't our own money or security. God created the solution, and he created a beautiful solution that created a ripple effect for good in every area of life. For example, when that happened, I got set free from my business. I began to double down and to focus more and devote myself to this program that we're doing with the Abundant Life Training Center. That was one effect. The other effect, I was able to be home with my children when they were out of school with coronavirus. And we began to homeschool my children and began to take them through this Abundant Life Blueprint program and to take them through the curriculum of this program, which was the whole goal of it all along. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. We began to take them through the whole curriculum of this. So you'll decide a thing. You got to come to that firm decision in your heart. Nothing happens in faith until you make a decision. And then you're going to decree a thing. I like to write it out. I like to sign it. I like to date it. I like to take communion over it. And if you can get into agreement with somebody, get into agreement. We talked about getting into agreement with God, getting what we're believing for in agreement with what God has promised in his word. You look at the Hebrew of this verse. It talks about deciding and agreeing with God's promises. It says, if you will cut, actually it's interesting. If you will cut or divide a thing, rightly divide God's word and divide his promises and how they apply to you. You look at the Hebrew of this verse. It means something like that. If you'll rightly divide his word and decide that they are true and decree his promises over your life and agree with those promises, they will be established for you in your life. And this has to do with covenant, I believe, as well. So if you'll just make a firm decision in your heart, write it down, declare that promise over your life and put it in writing, sign it, date it, get into agreement with somebody else in your life, I believe, and then take communion over it. Why? We're going to take communion here in a second. Communion is an activator. Communion releases us from the old, transfers us into the new. Communion activates these promises of God. It's the activation of this new covenant in our lives. So let's finish off here. When you're cast down and humbled, you will speak with confidence. In our prayer challenge prayer, we said, God, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes and to do it with peace and joy and confidence. We can approach God freely with boldness and freedom and confidence. Why? Because of what Jesus did. And God gives grace to the humble. It's this interesting idea. We can be humble and confident. We're humble because we're not depending on what we can do in our own strength, but we're confident in what God can do. We can be humble and confident all at the same time. And the humble person, he will what? He will lift up and save. Last week, we did a training, last week or 2 weeks ago, we did a training on Pentecost and talked about being lifted up. Being lifted up. We talked about how God will often prune us back, but also lift us up at the same time. That word for Jesus says, you know, those who are producing fruit, God will prune. There's two different translations of that verse. He will prune or cut back, or it says to be, he will lift up. And we learned from one of our partners, we were doing a live training on this, one of our partners said he learned from a horticulture specialist that you can both prune something and cut it back. He had a tree that the branches were hanging down, and he began to prune off some of the smaller branches on it. And as he was pruning those, the weight on the tree lifted, and the branch began to rise up and began to get lifted up just by pruning back some of the things that were not needed on the tree. So you can have pruning and lifting up all at the same time. It says he will even rescue the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. We can pray for other people, and God will help those people as well. And he will be rescued through the cleanness of your hands. So we're going to take communion here. Every time we take communion, we do so with holy awe, with reverence and honor and delight for what God has done, for what Jesus has done for us. And every time we take it, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, proclaiming the death. So we're going to decide the death of Jesus was a big deal. It was the transition from the old to the new, from the releasing us from the old covenant of law and works to this new covenant of grace and love. And we're going to make a decision. We're not going to be wavering back and forth between the two. We're going to create a turning point in our lives. We're going to make a firm decision in our lives today. And I would be good for you. If you wanted to do this, you could write it down. You could decree it. Today was the day. Today was the turning point in this. This is something I've learned to do. Whenever I create turning points and I make a firm decision, I will write it down and I'll decree it and I'll create a memorial of it. And I will often take communion over it and to create that turning point in my life. So his death was a big deal. It initiated, it set into motion this new covenant. Without his death, it is his will and testament. Without his death, none of that went into effect. Think of life insurance or someone's estate planning. None of that gets put into motion until someone dies. His death set everything into motion. And through his one sacrifice, he makes us holy. He makes us righteous. He makes us perfect. He makes us right with God. He brings us this new covenant through his one sacrifice. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. And we just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then after supper, at the Last Supper, he took the cup. This cup of juice here I've got. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins, poured out for many." He's given us this new covenant of love where God is with us and for us. And our role in this, we got to make a firm decision. We have to decide. We got to get it established in our hearts and get to this place where we make a firm, unwavering decision. And we begin to decree and put into motion and establish these promises of God in our life. Make a firm decision that what God said is true. And he's there to guide you and decree it over your life. Get it in writing. Sign it. Date it. Take communion over it. To activate this new covenant, this new way of living in our lives. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. And we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. So every time we take communion, it is a table turner. It's meant to be a turning point, an activation in our lives. So we're going to decide from this moment on, we're going to do things differently. We're going to be people who make firm decisions. We're going to decide to do things God's way. And we're going to begin to decree his promises over our lives. And like I said, put them in writing. And then if something ever tries to creep back in to make you waver in your decision, you grab that piece of paper that you wrote out and you look at it and you read it and you look at it again. Think about a law that's put in place. Someone breaks a law. You say, hey, this is what it says. This is what it says. We can decree these things, these promises in our lives. And remember, we're creating a turning point, but now we got to follow through. Now we got to walk this thing out. And the number one thing to walk out, walking in love, receiving God's love, loving others and yourself just as God has loved you. Let his love flow through you, giving other people the same grace, the same love that he has given to you. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.